The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, July 29th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's another gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika, and I feel like Auburn fans are just smiling a little bigger today, just driving a little smoother and having just a nice Monday afternoon. We're going to get into maybe why that happened on what was a historical breakthrough, unbelievable weekend in terms of recruiting for Hugh Freeze and Auburn football. That's right, Big Cat Weekend has continued into Monday, and there's so many names, so many guys that we need to talk about, and just so much news to cover on the Monday edition of On the Line. Hope y'all had a fantastic weekend. It's me, Jacob Goetz, and across from me, he's wild, he's crazy, he's your favorite, it's Uncle T-Bone, back with us in the studio. My man, happy Monday, great to see you.
Happy Monday, good afternoon, and boy, oh boy, are the tides a-changing in the state of Alabama. Can you feel it? Jacob Goetz, welcome to On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. 334-321-1390 is the phone number. Give us a ring and let us know what's on your mind. Or you can hit the text hotline, 334-784-1067. And I got a feeling we're not going to be discussing the Olympics starting out the show.
No, probably not to start the show. We may get to that maybe at some point today. But there are just so many different talking points that are surrounding the big thing that happened in Auburn this weekend. We told you about it going into the weekend, Thursday, Friday. We talked about Big Cat all last week, right? And on Friday, we did that in the first hour. We had our Auburn football draft in the second hour, which was a ton of fun. But this weekend, Uncle T-Bone, as we jump straight into it, he mentioned the phone lines. Get in with that, 334-321-1390. This weekend was everything that Auburn wanted it to be. It was everything that Auburn fans wanted it to be. And I think it was more than what people outside of Auburn thought it was going to be. It was just an event that we all know is the biggest for Auburn in the year, and it has become one of the biggest in the country with Big Cat Weekend happening at the end of July. You had guys rolling in Thursday night, Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, and guys even hanging out through the weekend as well. And you had commitments going into the weekend, during the weekend, and how about on this Monday, even after Big Cat Weekend?
Yeah, we talked about this on Friday before we did our Auburn football draft with Jumpin' Jack Hudden. We set the over-under on commitments by last Friday, at 3.5 for 2025 and 2.5 for 2026 class. Well, we blew past 2026 on Saturday when Auburn got back-to-back
boom
commitments, all four stars.
Before the event even started.
All defensive. I mean, three of the top five, depending on what site you're on, seven players in the entire state of Alabama for next year. Thrusting Auburn in the all-around recruiting rankings in 2026, a whole class away, to number one.
How about that?
So then Some other players decided to get on the action for this year. A four-star cornerback from Maryland, Blake Woodby, commit. Antonio Coleman Jr. flips again, this time back to Auburn. The one-time Bama commit, the one-time Auburn commit, the one-time Bama commit. Now the four-star defensive lineman from Saraland, a Auburn commitment. I think he was told once and for all, hey, buddy, it's time to you know what, or get off the pot. If you're going to be here with us like you claim you want to be, commit now. And never look back and never visit anymore. And we'll see if that holds true. That guy's been all over the place, but currently he's in Auburn stable at the moment. Then Auburn gets a commitment from a, I hate to say it, a two-star punter because they're all ranked. I mean, you telling me Towns Magoo wasn't a five-star? This kid's the number two punter in the country.
Yeah, well, this one's interesting.
Yeah, from Thompson High, he commits.
Well, and I heard a good breakdown from Christian Clemente and Jason Caldwell about this. Reminder that kickers and punters are ranked differently from different sites. Like, 247 and those guys don't even really mess with that just because it's such a different aspect of a football player. There's a whole different outlet that does that. And as you said, this guy's the number two punter in the country.
Yeah, and he also kicks, place kicks as well, and kicks off. I mean, you got to have those players, right? I mean, there's three aspects to the team.
And Chapman's going to be gone after this year.
Yeah, and special teams, and poor Alec McPherson. We still don't know his status with his with his issues and digestive issues. So hopefully he's going to get better and be okay. But yeah, you got to. I mean, there's been kickers that have cost teams in this state. For years.
You better believe it.
For years, not just named Alabama. So that was a good pickup. So right there, we're at three, and I'm like, well, are we going to go over this 3.5? Well, that happens today with the big-time flip. Four-star wide receiver from Southside Selma, Derek Smith, says, not today, Alabama. I'm taking it to Auburn. He's out of here. He's out of there, and he's over here. Just shooting Auburn's recruiting class. You know, a month ago, they'd lost some players. Maybe a few of those players got processed, like Cardae Smith. We don't know really what happened. But dropping Auburn down as low as in some rankings is like 15, 16 when they've been as high as 5, maybe a little higher. So according to most sites, Auburn's well into the top 10 now and looking at trending towards the top 5 with a few more guys that are probably going to pop this week.
Yeah, they are flirting with the top 5 right now. Depends on what site you look at. I typically go towards the 247 side with number 7 right now in the 2025 class. And as you mentioned, I know it's early. We're going to get to this as we go. But you look at that 2026 class, and it's hard to not look at the rankings. It's hard not to look at it, and it's been a long time since you've seen the Auburn Tigers sit at number one in anything, especially in football recruiting, and that's where the Tigers sit right now in 2026. Again, give us a call. Shoot us a text. We want to hear your thoughts, your reactions, your feelings from Big Cat Weekend. You can call us 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. And we knew going in about a couple of guys that we felt pretty good about, right? We felt pretty good about a couple of the 25s and even a couple of the 26. But if you remember, I took the under on your totals in both of those. I didn't think it was going to be this big. And not that it couldn't be, I just didn't think in that short amount of time it was all going to happen. I felt good about a lot of them happening eventually. I just didn't know they were all going to pop this quick. I mean, all those 2026 guys, as I said, those happened before the Big Cat event even started on Saturday morning, afternoon. I mean, they just got the whole thing kicked off. And that was really, really neat to see. And I think that almost gives you a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of momentum, if you will, because you have guys like a Jamichael Garrett or a Shedarius Tootle or the Hezekiah Harris who, you know, they started doing this on Instagram Lives and taking microphones from Hugh Freeze and getting everybody hyped up and ready to go. Like, that's such a cool moment for these guys with all their families and all their friends and other people's families. Like, that's what Big Cat Weekend is all about. And credit to Auburn for building this years and years ago and making it an event where people want to commit on that weekend. They not want just to be there. They want to commit and get the hype and get the attention because that's what it's all about. And Auburn does a fantastic job at making that so.
Yeah, I can't remember which recruit it was that was on campus for Big Cat Weekend. I don't think it's someone who's committed yet, but they were Auburn's definitely in the mix, and they were talking to him, and they were like, parroting just what you said. They're like, Blake Woodby, he just grabbed the microphone and got up in front of everybody and said, hey folks, here's the news, it's breaking, I'm coming to Auburn. And he and the recruit was like, man, it takes a lot of guts to get up and announce that in front of everybody and mean it. And like, you know, Big Cat was invented by Trooper Taylor and Gus Malzahn and Gene Chizik's staff back then. When Chizik arrived, it started with like the Tiger Prowl, where they went around the state to high schools and got a lot of notoriety because they were in stretch limos or Hummers, and the rules got changed where you couldn't do that. So they're like, you know what, we're going to just have everyone come here and have a not an official visit weekend, but it's just going to be and it's not going to be like where we're taking tours of campus and explaining all the positives about coming to Auburn University, and not just in athletics, but, you know, academically as well. We're just going to have a big fun time and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it bumped along pretty well for a while, and then later in Malzahn's years and obviously in the Harsin years, it went downhill. A lot of teams started mimicking Big Cat Weekend and trying to schedule events on their campuses during Big Cat Weekend.
Which still happens.
To disrupt the momentum of it. This happened again this weekend with Alabama having some goofy championship cookout over there on Sunday that looked like more like an IKEA ad from the pictures I've seen than an actual fun cookout. And it was a complete disaster from all accounts. I mean, they were supposed to have – I mean, how many commitments they get out of that big cookout weekend? You know? I mean, honestly, it looked like some wedding reception from some little podunk church up on Sand Mountain. I mean, Saban wouldn't have had that. That's not from the pictures I've seen. And so, anyway, we go back to Big Cat Weekend, and people are trying to disrupt it and trying to you know, downplay it. And Hugh Freeze came in and gave it a rebirth. And you can see clearly what Auburn is trying to do in recruiting. It's been the mantra day one from this staff. Auburn's not going to go to Texas. They're not going to go up into Ohio and compete not only against every SEC school, but the Texases and Ohio States and USCs and Notre Dames of the world for commitments in places where they haven't normally recruited. We're going to get back into this game by shortening our supply line, and we're going to position ourselves as the relationship guys and go-to for all coaches, players, and family within the state of Alabama. And boom, it's working.
9 out of the 20 recruits and commits in the 2025 class are from the state of Alabama. And just to show you, Uncle T-Bone, the success of what Big Cat Weekend was this year, what it was this past Saturday, of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama, do you know how many of those were on campus on Saturday? The top 10 players in the state.
10.
All 10.
All 10.
All 10 were on campus in Auburn on Saturday afternoon for Big Cat Weekend.
How about that? How many of them are committed to Auburn right now?
I don't know the exact number right now. I have a good feeling, though, that Auburn could get 6, 7, 8 of those guys to commit to Auburn by the end of this thing. Because, look, Auburn's not done. That's what everybody keeps saying. That's what all the coaches have continued to say. And that is always something that they're going to, we're not done yet. You know, got another one coming.
Well, they better not be done. I mean, in today's college football world, now listen, I don't want to rain on everybody's parade. I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but it's a long ways until December.
It is.
Everyone who's committed to Auburn will continue to be recruited by every school out there that was recruiting them, and them some that maybe even weren't. You look at the University of Alabama in particular, right across the state, Auburn's biggest rival. Do you think that they're taking it very well, that they only have 3 players on their 25 recruiting class, which is ranked very high, by the way, from the state of Alabama? 2 of the 3 weren't even being recruited by Auburn. Heck no. They're going to come back, and the empire will strike back. Here's a quote real quick before we go to break that I found on one of their websites. UA should never be run out of its own state, regardless how well things are going nationally. Should never happen, period. May well get shut out of the top 10 now. If money is involved, you pay the price of anything to prevent the narrative. I still think the weekend was an absolute disaster and have big questions about the staff's ability to outsell Freeze. Just ridiculous. Do you think those types of posts aren't being noticed over there on campus at the University of Alabama? They are not going to stand for Auburn kicking their butt in state recruiting. I can promise you that.
Six out of the top 10 players in the state are currently committed to Auburn, Uncle T-Bone, and there's two more that Auburn feels really, really good about right now. That's Anquan Fagans. That's an important one to know, especially,
and he will
especially
announce tonight
today.
At 6 p.m.
That's correct. The other one is Jared Smith, right? The edge, who Auburn has been all over that for so long. The other two guys in the top 10 of the state of Alabama are committed to Ohio State. Six of the 10 are committed to Auburn. Two of the 10 are committed to Ohio State, and the other two Auburn feels really, really good
about. That would be Naheem Alford, the cornerback out of Birmingham.
Correct.
And Zion Grady, who was in Troy, now play the defensive end out of Enterprise.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still not real certain if he's all there. I think Auburn wants to take one more edge, but all accounts I'm hearing, they're more after the Herbert Scroggins guy out of Savannah, who's committed to Miami right now.
Who's a really, really solid player as well. I mean, Auburn's going after top-tier talent. That includes Auburn having the 17th-ranked player, Alvin Henderson, of course, the running back, who's been just one of the biggest recruiters for Auburn so far since he came back home. Spencer Dolan, the offensive tackle, who's a top 33 player, top 35 player in the state of Alabama. But it gets back to the top 10. And when's the last time Auburn, when you pulled up the top 10 rankings in the state of Alabama, when's the last time you just saw Auburn? And before we get to break, we're going to get to this when we get back because this makes me so ill. Don't give me the stuff that Alabama doesn't want them. I don't want to hear that. Alabama backed off. They didn't want them. They didn't want the number 3 player ranked in the entire state. Alabama went somewhere else. Give me a break on that. And we'll address that when we get back. 334-321-1390. I know you got thoughts. I know you want to talk about Big Cat Weekend, and we want to talk about it with you. We'll continue here after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, recapping Big Cat Weekend, which was... it went about as well as it could go, Uncle T-Bone. I don't think if you were to ask Hugh Freeze right now, which he'll be having a press conference come this Thursday when fall camp opens up, and I'm sure he will be asked about Big Cat Weekend and the commitment from today, possibly another commitment today, possibly one coming up this weekend. I mean, he's going to be asked about Big Cat Weekend, and I fully expect him to have great things to say. But if you asked him behind closed doors to sworn secrecy, hey, could that have gone any better? He would tell you straight up, there's no possible way. Big Cat Weekend this Saturday was better than I've seen it in a long, long time. And if you start, you know, it's trying to put a number on it on a 1 to 10 scale or whatever the case may be, I mean, you're flirting with 9 or 10 in terms of how great Big Cat Weekend was for Auburn for 2025 and for 2026. And what's so great about it is they're not done. It's been expanded. It's like the opening week of college football. We're going from Wednesday to the following Wednesday. That's how far and that's how effective Big Cat was this weekend.
I mean, it was huge. I didn't understand last week why in the press it wasn't getting more coverage than it did.
Because outsiders don't know.
But I think that the gauntlet's been thrown down. Now, look, this isn't just this year's Big Cat. This started happening last year with the Perry Thompson flip from Alabama to Auburn. One of the if Hugh Freeze is to have long-term success at Auburn, I think you're going to point to that day, that flip, as the moment that everything changed for Auburn. And he, along with DeMarcus Riddick last year, Cam Coleman, the Joseph Phillips from Tuskegee, who was just a massive, massive get for Auburn that was a huge player on Georgia's board last year and was committed to Georgia.
Oh, they didn't want him.
Okay. And you're seeing this staff make it a priority to win the state of Alabama. You know, for years, Nick Saban dominated the state of Alabama. And when he came in, the first 3 years or so in his full recruiting cycle, his classes in-state killed Auburn. The 2008 class, the first year of him fully being on the sidelines in 07 and recruiting, I think Auburn got one of the top 20 players in the state that year. He didn't even qualify. Alabama got like 15 or 16, and the rest of them went out of state. Mm-hmm. They weren't even going to Auburn if they didn't go to Alabama. And that was the extreme of it, but it didn't get a lot better for a few years afterwards. He put a fence around this state, and then he could go out and recruit big time in other places for big time players and take it to a national level. Now, I'm not saying that under Nick Saban, Alabama took the state for granted, and I guarantee you that over there this was a huge wake-up call, especially with these two flips on top of everything else Auburn's doing in-state this year and next on paper right now. But you got to believe, you got to wonder. It's like, you know, did they just kind of, we got Alabama. We're not worried about it. We're going to go out there and get other big-time players and recruit nationally. Whatever. We got this. And then all of a sudden, this staff's come in, and this isn't just all Nick Saban leaving. They started making a point of this last year. This is not the Nick Saban effect, folks. This is the Hugh Freeze effect.
Well, you said it just a second ago, the fact that when Saban was at the peak, when Alabama was at the peak under him, they did have the state on lockdown. And I'm not saying that they didn't recruit kids in Alabama, because they did, but you said it. They had the luxury to be able to go outside of the state and say, mm-hmm. Oh, you're the top player in Georgia? Yeah, we'll take you. Oh, Mississippi? Cool, we got it. Tennessee? Yeah, we'll go check you out. We can go anywhere in the country because we know we've got the ace up our sleeve with the talent in the state of Alabama. And now the fact that Saban's not there, and look, you bring in a guy from out west who is still learning how to recruit in this state. I don't care who you are, how many championships you've competed for, you have to learn how to recruit down here, right? Auburn was on the wrong end of it, and Alabama's hoping they're not on the wrong end of it. There's a learning curve, and it's a little bit different here. And it's that transition period that I've talked about over the last 8 months since we've known of Saban's retirement, where Auburn had an opportunity, and they're taking it right now. They've jumped on it. They found the gazelle with the broken toe. I'm not saying it had a broken leg or even a severed body. It had a broken toe, and you had a chance to go after it. And Hugh Freeze and the staff have done that in 2025 and in 2026. Now, the goal is to keep all those guys, of course, and, sure, and prevent them from going anywhere. And look, you start talking about the Antonio Colemans of the world, who nobody can keep up with that. It's causing guys to lose sleep at night who cover recruiting, but you're still winning the battles right now. You're winning those battles, and Auburn is taking advantage of the transition period, and that's what they had to do.
You asked a question before the break. When was the last time Auburn did so well across the board, top 10, top 15 in the state of Alabama consistently like this? I mean, I think you got to go back to Tommy Tuberville's early years, mm-hmm, when Auburn signed Cadillac Williams and went from there. And Alabama was in complete disarray when Mike DuBose fell off the wagon or did whatever he did, and they just couldn't seem to get the right guy in there, and there was a lot of disruption in the state of Alabama on that side, and Auburn was able to exploit it. These coaches knew that as long as Nick Saban was at Alabama, there wouldn't be big disruptions. I mean, he's got this to the best of his ability. Now, the disruptors came from the outside with the transfer portal in the NIL, but they were going to position themselves day one is the staff that was going to benefit the most from Nick Saban retiring. And they started working on that from day one, and it started showing last year, not because Nick Saban was retiring, by all accounts. None of those recruits last year knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he did retire, they lost a few for a hot second, were able to get somebody back like Ryan Williams. And listen, when they want a player bad enough, they're going to do just about anything they can do to get that player, and that's Ryan Williams. But I'm going to do something real quick. When's the last time you heard a quote like this from Andrew Bone over at Alabama about Derek Smith? It's a loss for UA. Auburn did a good job recruiting him. We expect UA will still pursue. They got beat on this one.
When's the last time Auburn beat Bama in a recruiting battle? It's been a long time. Not just a flip, flat out beat them. Took them from the Tide. It's happening more and more. It's happening more and more. Lots more to get to on this. Again, we want to hear from you over Big Cat Weekend, 334-321-1390. 30 minutes into hour number one.
The Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz, and I want to address something. I want to address something that I've continued to see, and this is nothing new, which is frustrating, but it is what it is. Over the weekend, over on social media, right? You continue to see. I don't care if it is Alabama to Auburn. I don't care if it's Ohio State to Michigan. I don't care if it's UCLA to USC. When you see a player who was once being recruited by said school, then either leave that school and go to another school, the go-to reaction, the go-to defense, Uncle T, is, oh, we didn't want him. Oh, we backed off. Nah, that fell through. Our coaches decided he wasn't good enough.
We processed him.
Yeah. We found someone better. Stop it. Is that a true statement sometimes? Yeah, it is. And Auburn's had a couple of those here recently that it's been a mutual parting of ways. A couple of those decommitments were just that. But for Alabama, and I saw it on social media all weekend long, Saturday, Sunday, even today, to go out and say, oh, well, we didn't want who, I mean, just, and not even one particular player. It's every time. And it's probably a minority of the fan base, and I'm probably getting overwhelmed and overreacting to it, but I just get tired of seeing it, man. It's like, shut up. You wanted him. He's a 4- or 5-star player that didn't go to your school. Don't act like you didn't want him. Don't act like your coaching staff backed off and decided that they didn't want Antonio Coleman anymore. Give me a break.
Sounds like people taking a big dose of copium to me, Jacob.
Trying to figure out how to get over it is what they're trying to do. And it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think that college fan bases are not unlike folks who are in political parties and really follow politics as well. And about, for some reason, I don't think it used to be like this. I think it used to be less than 5% almost my entire life, and now it's about, unfortunately, 15-20% of the people in any fan base have somehow hijacked the microphone of crazy from the rest of the 80% who, I mean, listen, as big a fans as we are of college football and as big a fans as you see on message boards, and, you know, I'd say the majority, I don't know, I'd say 50% of the people out there wouldn't even know what's going on with any recruit from day to day that's a college football fan.
What do I always say? Nobody knows anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they see something on AL.com or whatever saying Auburn did something good or Bama did something good, and they're happy, and they see something go bad and they're like, well, okay, whatever. And then some crazy person gets on Twitter and be like, he was immature, just wasn't ready for Saban's prophet. or vice versa, however it goes here. We didn't want him anyway, got a bigger fish on the line anyway. And you hear these things and you're just like, whatever, man. When that person committed, you were jumping up and down, especially on a decommit. And you know, I'm sure no one would want one of the top defensive linemen or wide receivers in the state of Alabama. I'm sure you've got somebody else on the other line. That's fine. Keep recruiting how you're doing. Y'all are doing good, Alabama. Also, we'll pat you on the head. Doing a great job out there in California. Y'all keep going out there to get your commits, and we'll just – you do you, and we'll do us.
And I've seen some people and this has some truth to it. When you look at the state of Alabama with the talent that's in this state compared to the rest of the country, right, when you start looking at where the top 20 guys in Alabama rank in the top 100 overall in the country, yes, it is a little bit lower than it's been in the past because there aren't the Cam Coleman's of the world and the Ryan Williams of the world.
And he had to reclassify now. He would have been in this class, remember that.
Right. And so there are a lot of really good players, but those just super five-star high, like there's not a ton of those guys, okay? But there's a lot of really, really good players. And to downgrade or degrade this class and to degrade this state, it's disrespectful to the players. It really is.
Well, I agree with that. Now, that's the bugaboo for me right there. You're talking about a 17, 18-year-old kid who's fulfilling his dreams.
That you were excited about and pumping your chest on social media, but then when he doesn't come to your school, your whole day is ruined and you're dragging him.
And you're going to hate on him.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't.
I've never liked that part of the recruiting.
Well, that's where social media has become so toxic, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you just flip it over to Twitter, and it's just like, you know, you're hating on a kid who's deciding to go to college. I mean,
and look,
at the end of the day, they're deciding to go to college. You should be happy for them wherever they go.
There's a group of Auburn fans that do the same thing. They're everywhere.
I don't have a problem with anybody going anywhere as long as they're not running somebody down while they're doing it.
Sure.
Like how Aiden Holloway did to Auburn when he left here. I wish him nothing but the worst. And I mean it. He dragged Auburn on the way out instead of just being like, look, great place, wasn't for me, I'm ready to move on in my life. All right, man, good luck to you. You can't be dragging folks on the way out. I've never liked that part of it either, like I'm going to disrespect a school I didn't commit to. You've seen that a few times in big-time, high-profile commitments, and you're like, what are you doing, man? You're talking about burning a bridge.
Well, there's a lot of that happening right now, too, which I really do hate. There's a lot of bridge burning happening. Take somebody like Antonio Coleman, who has been committed to both places in this state twice now. It's a weird thing, man. It is, and it's different.
Has he like when he left Auburn? You know, did he have horrible things to say about Auburn? And now I'm back at home, and they're terrible, and I'm here, and this is great. And then you know what, Alabama, you're terrible. And now Auburn's great. No, I mean I think he's just had a hard time making up his mind where he wants to go.
And I think there's a lot,
and that I get.
Sure.
Because this is a huge decision.
On your future.
I saw one recruit that I cannot remember. I think he was from South Carolina that was here at Big Cat Weekend this past weekend. And he said, this isn't for my next 4 years. This is for my next 40. And I was like, I don't know whoever that kid is. I want him on my team.
How about that?
You know what I'm saying? That guy gets it. This isn't just, well, I guess it could be just for a year now with the transfer portal. But in most cases, when you go somewhere, I mean, this is a lifetime decision. You know, and for somebody like Caleb Downs to make that lifetime decision and go to Alabama and then make another one the next year to go to Ohio State, well, I mean, the guy just had to do what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get it. It's a moving target. You have to, you know, with the transfer portal and everything. But I want the type player, no matter if they're good enough to be recruited by everybody else, I don't care where they're ranked. If they say things like, I'm looking at my next 40 years, get them on my spot, on my roster.
And for a lot of purists out there, the loyalty factor is really, really – that's a hard pill to swallow, the fact that loyalty is so thin nowadays. And
it's thinner.
It is. And
there's still some out there, though.
But the reality of it is, Uncle T, is these kids don't owe you anything. They don't owe you as a fan, as a coach, as a program. They don't owe you squat.
You're right.
And for them to give you a verbal commitment, congratulations. Until the pen hits the paper, they don't owe you a thing. Whether you feel disrespected or not, then that's your own feelings. I can't help you with that. And I'm not talking to any fan base. I'm talking just in college athletics right now. There's a lot of people that can't accept that. And it's hard because it's different than it's ever been. This didn't happen in the 80s and in the 90s and in the early 2000s. I get that. But for a 17, 18-year-old to say, you know what, Auburn's not for me, I think I need to be at Alabama. Good for you.
Good for you, man.
Go do your thing. If it works out, great. If not, find your new home. Whether that's back at Auburn or whether that's at Maryland, I don't care where it is. Go find it. And if you're a school like Auburn, then, yeah, maybe take advantage of it down the road. And, look, we get you don't want to be here now, but we're always here if you want to come back. That type of thing. That's hard for a lot of people to understand.
You know, I'll take it a step further, too. It's not even after pen hits paper. I still don't count any commitment until I see them in summer camp enrolled.
Yeah.
Because I promise
you. Or early in the spring, yeah.
Yeah, or in the spring or whatever. I promise you that there are players that sign, and before they've got a couple of months from that spring and they got to finish up high school until they get to Auburn or Alabama or something, there's still people reaching out to them. And what are you going to tell somebody who signs to play, say, at Auburn, and, I don't know, LSU comes along and doubles their money? And, well, I've signed to go to Auburn. Well, just don't go. Come here. See what happens. You're going to tell them they can't play football?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to hold that person back and his family back from making money? I mean, seriously.
I mean,
you control their lives? You own them?
No.
No, and that's why you're right, man. These guys that are playing football or whatever sport, they don't owe me anything. You know, and if these coaches can just bolt whenever and have sold everybody, including the fans and the recruits, that I'm going to be here to take care of your son, ma'am, and grandmama, I got this, don't worry. Okay, by the way, I'm going to Oklahoma. I'll see you.
Mm-hmm.
If that can happen, then I don't see any problem with it happening with the players either. Sorry.
I'll go down this road, though, and I'll say, look, I'm very excited about Antonio Coleman, and I think Auburn, if that is where he ends up being, I think Auburn's going to be very happy with him. But in this state, when you do what he's been doing, flipping back and forth, you're going to get a little bit of noise around it. You're going to get a little bit of hate for it. And look, you bring that on yourself, and that's fine. I think he's handled it well, and he's, again, he's just trying to figure out what the heck he wants to do, and good for him for doing it. But to continue on and kind of get off that side of the topic for a second, you said something earlier that I wanted to bring up today. I guarantee, whether they want to admit it or not, people in Tuscaloosa are taking notice of what's happening right now at Auburn. Whether all of this sticks or not, the fact that Auburn right now sits with 6 of the top 10 players in the state of Alabama, I believe it will be 8 by the time it's all said and done, if not more, they are taking notice on what's happening on the plains, and they don't like it. I guarantee it, whether it's coaches, whether it's the REC, it doesn't matter. They understand what's happening, and they're going to have a reaction to it. And I don't know what that is. They're going to have another reaction with an action followed that, and Auburn's got to be ready, man. This is all out war at this point, I promise you.
Yeah, I'll give you an over-under of about 7.5 days before there's some type of negative article about Auburn in the New York Times or USA Today to begin with as a reaction. But that's probably a different story for a different day. Competing in the SEC for any school right now is as difficult as it can be.
Yeah.
And it's as difficult for Alabama as it's been. I mean, we just added Texas and Oklahoma. They're no different to an extent, despite all the excess, than you know, half the schools in the SEC. It just got way, way tougher to win the league. In fact, it might be easier to get into the college football playoffs. In fact, it is, than to win the SEC. So, of course, they're going to have a reaction when, for about the past 4 years before Hugh Freeze got here, you pretty much had it on easy street in the state of Alabama, where you got to cherry pick the guys that you wanted, maybe even negative recruit the ones you didn't, to go out of state. and you dominated the state, of course they're going to have reaction. It's tough in the SEC now as it's ever been, and now it's as tough in the in Alabama, in the state of Alabama, and recruiting in your own backyard as it's ever been for them.
Yeah, look at the updated
look
recruiting
at what
rankings.
Look what Hugh Freeze and them are doing.
I know. Look at the updated recruiting rankings in the top 10 SEC schools. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the top 10 are from the SEC. Let's get to the phone lines quickly before we get to break. 334-321-1390. Jones, what's on your mind, man? You're on the line.
I'll be brief and as puerile as I can possibly be.
Okay.
You guys can answer it. Will Hugh eventually make Coach DeBear his de-bitch?
Well, there was that.
Hey-o.
Appreciate the call, Jones.
Yeah, I guess somebody better get the FCC on the line.
Oh, gosh.
Boy, Auburn fans are in a good mood today.
That's a great segue to break, my man.
I think it's time for a break.
Well, with that, the phone lines have been shut down. 334-321-1390. You can call in unless you go say something like that. Where's the drop button? Did we get that going? Thank goodness the website ain't working. All right, we'll get to break, come back, and wrap up hour number one. Stick around.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
I don't really know how to bounce back from that. We'll continue as we wrap up hour number one. Continue to talk about Big Cat Weekend. There are other things to get to, and we will have those coming up in hour number two. Reminder, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us as well. He'll pick back up with us. I know he's got a lot to say about Big Cat Weekend. Uncle T-Bone, in case you haven't looked, we're 33 days away from the start of Auburn football. Did
That's
you know
hard
that?
To believe. Hard to believe that it's almost August. Hard to believe that football season's practically here.
Fall camp starts on Thursday.
How about that? How about that right there, folks? So you might as well just dig in and get ready to roll for the next 6 to 7 months because football is back, and I can't wait to be here for a full football season on the line.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got Auburn, the university, that starts in 33 days. You have fall camp that starts this week. High school football begins on the 23rd, so we are 3 weeks away from that. 3 weeks from the start of high school football, which don't get me started. That stresses me out. But it's here, man. It's absolutely here. And outside of football. You mentioned the Olympics earlier. Have you kept up with anything with the Olympics? Have you watched any of it?
I watched a little tennis. I watched the Spanish Dream Team play Nadal and Alcaraz. I mean, can you imagine? I believe they were playing two Argentinians and their team. Could you imagine you make the Olympics, you're in doubles tennis, and you're like, here we go. We made it. I'm ready to compete. And your first draw is against Nadal and Alcaraz. Two of the top players that we've seen in our lifetime.
Yeah, that's your reward. You get all the way there.
And they played them tough. I'll tip my hat to the Argentinian team. I mean, doubles tennis, I don't know if you know much about it, is a much more – it's a different animal than playing singles. And these guys were obviously double specialists, and they gave them everything they wanted. But I watched a little bit of that. I watched some of the new Dream Team play and light up Serbia. And
took them a little bit, but they got there.
It took a minute to get going, but
Kevin Durant's an animal. I mean, Kevin Durant one of the best games I've ever
seen. They all just shot lights out.
Yeah.
I mean, from behind the arc.
Well, you got to remember, it's a little bit shorter of a court, and it's a little bit shorter three-point line, and they're just lighting it up.
So, that I've seen some of that. That's about it so far. I was kind of keeping an eye more on Big Cat Weekend this weekend and other stuff happening in college football. But it's been interesting. I saw saw a little bit of the blowback from the opening ceremonies. I don't want to get too much into that.
Yeah.
I just don't really understand exactly what that has to do with Olympic sports, but hey, that's a different topic for a different type show.
Yeah, and there has been a lot of blowback on that, and I was actually talking with Ben Taylor earlier about it this morning, and there's so many people boycotting the Olympics, which I think is sad. I get it, and again, we're not getting into the political side of this, but the athletes are just there competing, man. They're just there doing their thing. And so I'm continuing to watch it. A lot of the swimming finals are going on right now. I was watching a lot of them before we went live. Just to give you an update on the medal count from the Summer Olympics happening over in Paris. In terms of gold medals, it's Japan on top with 6. China and Korea have 5. You have France and Australia with 4. The United States has 3 gold medals. But in terms of the overall medal count, it's the United States, and it's not even close. They have 20 overall medals. The second place team has 14, which is France. And so the United States with, and then you got 12 for Japan and China as well. So U.S. trailing a little bit in the gold medal category, but got to get, and those gold medals are in fencing and 2 of them in swimming, which the U.S. has a total of 11 in swimming, which is pretty dominant. So, yeah, the Olympics going on right now. I figured you'd be a ping pong type of guy, Uncle T-Bone, watching a little table tennis.
Yeah, I heard we took down Korea, which was like Auburn beating the Dallas Cowboys or something, I mean, in table tennis. Is that correct?
Sure.
I love to play table tennis.
See, I always like to play.
It's kind of hard to watch, though. It's almost like watching hockey on TV.
You better stop.
Can't keep up with the puck, man. It's going
really
fast.
That sounds like a you problem. That sounds like
that
a you
like a me
problem.
Growing up in the South
problem. I know that golf, I know Scottie Scheffler and the boys are over there now. They are getting ready to go, and a lot of our listeners are big golf fans, and you'll have the Americans getting ready with world number one, Scottie Scheffler. Him and the family are over in Paris. Man, I can't wait to watch those guys compete. I mean, you've got some of the best in the world. That's what's cool about golf. It's like basketball now, where so many of the greatest players in the world are competing for 20 different countries, where it's not just all the best players on the United States. I mean, you've got them spread out all over the place, which makes it so much more competitive. So keeping up with the Olympics, I know there's a lot more going on right now. United States 20 overall. They got 3 in the gold category. So just a little update on what's happening over in Paris. Hour number one is in the books. Stay tuned. We'll have hour number two coming up, continuing to talk Auburn football recruiting, look at some news around the SEC and college football as well. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network is with us coming up in hour number two. So stick around. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And I feel like we did that in the first hour. I have a good feeling we did, and I have a good feeling we will do that again here in hour number two. If you missed any of that first hour, it was a doozy. I'll tell you what, you can go and catch up with the podcast on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also listen to the show live there each and every day or in the Radio Alabama app. So be sure that you have that downloaded on your phone as well. In hour number one, lots of recruiting talk, of course, with Auburn coming out of Big Cat Weekend, with having a little overflow of Big Cat Weekend carrying into today, possibly into tonight, and possibly into this coming weekend as well. So if you missed any of that in the first hour, you can go and listen to that again as a podcast at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, more recruiting talk. Got some numbers that Uncle T-Bone's been crunching over there on his little notepad. And so we're going to have him talk about that. We'll get into some more storylines as well. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us in about 30 minutes. Until then, phone lines are open. You can be a part of the show. Want to hear from you and your thoughts from this big recruiting weekend. 334-321-13. 1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. And before we get into some more content, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. And you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour here each and every day on ESPN. Uncle T-Bone, you've got some numbers. You got numbers. You've been crunching them. Yeah. I've seen you over there on your rock and leaves over there trying to get the numbers ready to go. So what do you got? What's it about? And what can you tell us about what's going on?
Well, I gotten a couple of sidebar texts from folks, and they're not saying I was being too hard on Alabama. I was just kind of pointing some stuff out. I mean, one of them was like, hey, Uncle T, they're ranked number one in the SEC in recruiting and second nationally. I'm like, hey, you know, that's fantastic. Who wouldn't want that, right? And but to me, it's just indicative, their class right now, of obviously with Saban being gone, that DeBoer is going to do things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the best way I can put it. And I don't know if Alabama fans, especially ones here in the state of Alabama, if he continues with this trend that I think I've seen in his recruiting already, are going to be comfortable with that, Jacob.
Why is that?
Well, let's just go when Nick Saban was first hired at Alabama. I believe he came in November of 06, maybe December of 06. I can't quite remember. It was a little bit later in that recruiting period. You remember back then signing day was on the first Wednesday in February. So
yep,
he had plenty of time to kind of get back and at least get a staff together and start and salvage a recruiting class after Mike Shula was let go of his duties at Alabama. This would have been your 07 recruiting class before he ever coached a down at Alabama. That class had 25 commitments. 8 were in the state of Alabama. And you knew in 08, after that first season, that he was going to try and do what Hugh Freeze is trying to do now at Auburn and his staff, and that's put a fence up around the state of Alabama and get as many of the best recruits that he could possibly get in Alabama. In 08, that class was number one in the country, had 32 commitments. 18 of those, Jacob, were from the state of Alabama. In 09, there were 27 commitments, also number one in the class. 10 were from Alabama, and then 2010, there were 26 commitments, and 9 of those were from the state of Alabama. And if you take a little bit closer look at those, the majority of the rest of the recruits, not named Mark Ingram,
mm-hmm,
were from Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida. Sound familiar?
Hmm.
If you take those numbers, 41% of Saban's first four classes were from the state of Alabama. 41% of his commitments. Those players in those classes accounted for 3 national championships in 2009, 2011, and 2012. If you take a look at this so-called first-ranked SEC class and second nationally in the country still right now for Alabama, it's got 20 recruits. 3 of those are from the state of Alabama. Only 3. 15% compared to Saban's first 4 full classes of 41%. 6 out of the 20 in Alabama's class this year is from the state of California. You're telling me there's more kids from the state of California committed right now to Alabama than there are from the state of Alabama? How well is that going to go? That is 30% of their class. If that trend continues, there's no way that's going to continue.
When's the last time that happened?
Never.
I would be willing to bet, yeah.
Never. But 41% of Saban's first 4 classes were all from the great state of Alabama. And right now, currently, 15%, only 15% of DeBoer's first class is from the state of Alabama. If that continues, That's going to make Alabama people very uncomfortable over time.
I like where you're going with this because it's accurate, right? It's accurate because of what the state of Alabama has been historically in high school recruiting. I've always said this, and it may not have always been the case. I wasn't around in the 80s, so I don't know. But in my lifetime, the state of Alabama has been one of the best high school football states in the country, especially in the last 15 years. It was convenient that when Saban took over, the state really got good. It was good before, but it's gotten better over time. It has. The state of Alabama has become so dominant. It's top five in the country.
I agree.
In high school recruiting.
I think you got to go Florida, Texas, Georgia. Probably a tie between Alabama and LSU, or close, you know, 4 and 5.
For Louisiana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, and we know what LSU's done. They've got that on lockdown.
So, I mean, where else would you rather recruit in the country other than Alabama, Florida, and Georgia?
Which is what I was alluding to earlier in the show, was while there are some people claiming that this year's 2025 state of Alabama may not be as good as other classes in the past, and I think that's accurate, it's historically a top five state. So do you want to go and recruit out of Washington and California and, no hate, but Tennessee and places like that? Or do you want to try and win a state that over time is always going to be in the top five of the best talent in the country? I'll take my odds on the state of Alabama, which that's what the greatest of all time decided to do. So I think that's
sure
a pretty
did.
Good game plan.
And the numbers are right there to speak the truth of it.
I'd say it's a pretty good game plan.
You know, listen, you get good players all over the country and you do it for 10 years straight and you're a top five class and that culture works and your fan base is behind it, that can work. That can be sustainable. I'm not saying what he's doing can't be sustainable. I don't know. I'm just saying it's much different than it was.
I don't think it's sustainable. And I guarantee
you. If I had to bet on the sustainability of it to the success that they would want or demand as a fan base, I would bet on that side as well.
Well, then that brings in the really crazy but legitimate question. Do the expectations ever change? Do they change? Do the fans change their expectations?
Mm-mm.
Or let me phrase it this way. What comes first? And this, I think there's an obvious answer here. What comes first? Alabama fans change their expectations for their new head coach in the football program, or Kalen DeBoer changes his ways of recruiting?
Oh, he'll change his ways of recruiting.
Exactly.
They'll put people around him very quickly if this trend continues that knows the state and knows the South as well as people on Auburn staff.
And even when you look at rankings, even if somebody from Utah compares with numbers to a guy in Alabama, I promise you the physicality and the athleticism and just the pure football player, the guy from the South is historically better. I mean, just, again, from the top five states we talked about, those players are better historically than they are from outside that group.
I think that there's been fantastic football players from the state of Alabama my entire lifetime, and it was a little underrated. The secret's out.
Oh, it's out now.
There's ballers in this state.
That's why people like Georgia and LSU and Florida try to come in here and take them.
I mean, you can't.
And Tennessee
can't say that
and Ohio State is coming down here and taking some of the best players.
I'm going through here and I was amazed looking at the top 50 players over here at On3 for the state of Alabama this year. And there's some really good schools. You know, we've been kind of bragging on Auburn rolling the top 10 and how well it's doing. Well, you get outside the top 10, and there's some really good schools still recruiting players. Here's the number 17 player, according to On3, from Central Phoenix City, Dalen Upshaw, a wide receiver. He's going to the U. How about Logan Anderson from Fife, Alabama, 6'2", 220 linebacker. He's going to Clemson. Right behind him at 20, Sidney Walton, going to Tennessee. Louisville's in here, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Texas A&M down there getting the 27th player. Florida, Troy, Mississippi State, Missouri, Washington's come down here to Parker High and got a defensive lineman. So, yeah, the secret's out, man. The toothpaste is out of the tube.
What? Yeah.
There's some serious talent in this state.
I look at last year, the 2024 class, in the top 10 of the state of Alabama, Tennessee, Oregon, Missouri came in here and took the 9th best player out of the state. Arkansas, I'm moving down through the top 15. Kentucky, Houston, you mentioned Miami. How about Tulane getting the 20th best player in the state of Alabama? Like, that's what's happening here. is other schools and other states want to be here.
I'll say this. If there's a school that can pull off having a national presence more heavy than in its core, what it was, what Saban really built his classes around, it's the University of Alabama, and it's right now because he's brought so much success over there. It's a national brand. That would definitely not be sustainable for Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
If Auburn was having to go out to California to get recruits, I'd be looking for the nearest bridge to jump off of. Because that's just not going to work.
It's not.
But you know, I don't know, man. I'm no military tactician, Jacob. No one's ever called me General T-Bone, although they probably should.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of people don't know that I grew up, one of my favorite subjects ever is history. I'm still a sucker for it. I love Civil War history. If you read my book, Fearless and True, you can find that at RadioFreeAuburn.com. You'll see that I believe that a lot of our passions and a lot of college football now came straight up out of some of the tactics of the Civil War. We don't, you know, we call these places Gettysburg and Antietam in the past. Now we call them Tuscaloosa and Georgia, and that's where we fight our fights. It's a more healthy way to do it. But I do understand this about a little bit about some tactical stuff from at least the Civil War. The people who kept their supply line shorter and could get that ammunition to their troops faster were the ones that had more success on the battlefield. And that's exactly what Auburn's doing. It's a lot easier for Auburn to get over to Selma and talk to Derek Smith than get out to Santa Ana, California, and a lot less expensive.
I was just about to say that. Think about the money side of this, where, look, at the end of the day, is a college football program worried about if the head coach walks in and says, hey, I need my private jet to take me out to Los Angeles right away? No, they're going to do it because that's how it rolls. But, yeah, if you could save a day and a half of traveling, and I don't know how much it costs to fly a private jet. I'm sure it's not cheap, okay? If you could save that and use that extra time and money, I don't know, on another recruit, I think that's going to benefit you in the long run. And it means more when a coach shows up to your high school rather than a FaceTime call, which sometimes that's what you have to do, but you get where I'm going here, and I like that you brought that up as well. I want to take our first break in hour two because I want to get back on the 2026 class. We haven't talked a lot about this yet, okay. And I have some words and I have some thoughts here that I want to go ahead and get out before all the craziness happens, because there's a lot to do and a lot of time between now and next December when both of these guys decide to sign. Okay, we'll talk about that when we come back. Phone lines are still open, 334-321-1390. You can get in there or in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. We'll be right back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We've talked a lot of 2025, but Uncle T-Bone, it was a big weekend for Auburn in terms of 2026 as well. And if you look right now, in case you just have not looked recently, in the last, I don't know, 24, 48 hours... Auburn football in the 2026 high school recruiting rankings. Can you take a guess, Auburn fans, at where the Tigers sit right now? Just take a guess. It hasn't been this way in a while, but it currently sits that way on Monday, July 29th. Auburn is ranked number one in the country in high school recruiting for 2026. They have five overall commits. All five of them are four stars. Most of them recruit or committed this weekend. And Big Cat, of course, had a lot to do with that. Let me start by saying this. We're a long way from home, my man. We're a long way from home, okay? Yeah. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's pull the reins back on the horse just a hair. And let's break this down just a little bit, okay? Because we're talking about guys. Most of them are not going to sign their NLI, their National Letter of Intent, until December of 2025, okay? They're not going to sign for another, 18 months? That's a long time from now. And we all know this. Everybody and their brother has been saying this about recruiting. Anything can happen. Anything can change at any given time. And so, yes, we can celebrate this right now, the fact that Auburn has the number one recruiting class in 2026, because that is a big deal. And I think that shows progress, Uncle T-Bone.
Absolutely,
I really do.
It does.
It shows a lot of progress. And for so many of them to all have committed in the same time frame coming into Big Cat, I think that speaks a lot of volume.
I like that. I like it when there's commitments in bunches like that. That means they're all talking and wanting to play together.
Which seems to be... which seems to be what's happening here. And for Auburn right now, again, the five commits in 2026, you've got Hezekiah Harris, who committed this weekend, Shedarius Tootle, who committed this weekend, Jamichael Garrett from Gulf Shores, who committed this weekend. You have Cale Ellis and Denarius Gray, all are committed in 2026. They're all really, really good players. And Auburn, what you have to do now is you got to keep them. You got to keep them recruited, or I guess keep them committed, and constantly recruit these guys until the very end.
Three out of the five players committed to Auburn for 2026 are defensive commitments. I believe you're really beginning to see on that side of the ball the DJ Durkin, Charles Kelly effect. That two-headed monster, along with the crime dog McGriff, up-and-comer defensive line coach Josh Aldridge as well for linebackers, very solid recruiters. I cannot continue to tell you people what I'm about to say, but I'm going to, probably until the end of time. DJ Durkin will be one of the best hires that Auburn's ever made as an assistant coach.
Wow.
In my lifetime.
Okay.
That guy is a fantastic defensive coordinator. He is from the Muschamp tree. We have not been recruiting talent like this on the defensive side of the ball since Will Muschamp and Treverius Robinson were here in 15 and 16. Fact. And probably before then, you have to go back to the early Tuberville days when you had Tommy Tuberville and Gene Chizik on staff together. These guys get it. DJ Durkin was probably about to get hired at Alabama had Nick Saban stayed there to replace Kevin Steele. You think Nick Saban knows anything about defense, Jacob?
I think so. I think he was historically okay at it.
You notice that all the negative Nancys that were on the message boards.
I'm not on the message board.
And the sky were falling guy because we hired DJ Durkin and his so-called baggage. Not really getting a lot of peeps out of them right now, are we?
The only thing I hear about DJ Durkin right now is from any player or recruit. And they absolutely love him. They love him.
That guy is going to is resurrecting his career, not just at Auburn, has been for quite some time while he's at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M. I think he's going to really elevate Auburn's defense over the next 3 years, especially talent-wise. I think that you're going to see, if nothing catastrophic happens in the next 2 to 3 years, Auburn's defensive side talent will rival that at Georgia, at Alabama, at LSU. And he's going to get whisked away as a head coach. And I hope that somebody that we keep an eye on for a long-term plan one day to bring back as one here. I believe that much in him. And I love Charles Kelly, who I think is in the absolute best spot he could be in and where he wants to be as an assistant coach, a lead recruiter, and a teacher. And we're super, super lucky to have them. We've upgraded tremendously on that side of the ball across the staff than we were last year with the guys who left. So I'm telling you, just keep an eye out, and especially in the state of Alabama next year, that top 10 is littered with defensive talent. Anthony Tank Jones, who has not committed yet.
Keep your eye on him.
St. Paul's, he's an edge, number one player in the state. You know, we got Hezekiah Harris. Zion Gibson, cornerback, trending towards Auburn. Shedarius Tootle, in, defensive. Jaquez Wilkes from Wadley, Alabama, another linebacker, 6'4", 218, trending towards Auburn. Vodney Cleveland, Prattville, defensive line. You got to go six spots before you get to an offensive guy on the on-three top 10 players in the state of Alabama next year. And then you get Jamichael Garrett, another one, and Jamaria Gordon, who was committed to Alabama. And then you finally get a running back in Deshaun Spencer out of Sarryland. Jacob, that's eight of the top – top 10 players are on the defensive side of the ball, and I believe Auburn's got a better staff and better recruiting staff on that side of the ball that they've had in a very, very long time.
Well, just look at the three that are already committed to Auburn in 2026. You mentioned them. They're all three defensive players. They're all three four-stars, and guess what? They're all three from the state of Alabama. Hezekiah Harris, Shedarius Tootle, and Jamichael Garrett. They're all four-star guys on the defensive side that are right here in Alabama, and two of them are down in Mobile and Gulf Shores. A place that Auburn,
Mobile
and this
Baldwin
horse.
County, we have beat this horse to death. I mean, that was grade A, number one spot on a map that Saban came in and said, not today, Auburn.
And Auburn has flipped it and got needs to continue to do that as they move forward. And I've heard some guys talking about this, in particular Jason Caldwell. And looking at Auburn in the 2025 class and what they've brought in on that defensive line, they are stacking up that D-line. They are stacking up with dudes all over it. Look at the 25 class. Malik Autry, the longtime Auburn commit, the five-star right here in Opelika, right? People keep forgetting about him, that he's in that class, because he's been committed to Auburn for so long. Over a year he's been committed to Auburn, okay? Five-star D-line. How about Ja'Caleb Falk, the four-star edge? How about Jordan Crawford, the four-star D-line? Antonio Coleman on that D-line as well. Just guys that continue to build up the depth there, and you're starting to see Auburn build up a defensive line that has dudes outside of the starting few. Like, instead of running guys into the ground and making them run every snap, you have a four-star that's in the starting rotation who can take a break, and guess what? You bring in another four-star or another five-star. Auburn's getting into that type of territory. And my God, it's been so long since we've seen it. It's Alabama-esque. That's what made Saban so great in Tuscaloosa.
You know, he gets a bad rap because he was very unsuccessful as a head coach. But this was what Will Muschamp does, okay? This is what Will Muschamp was doing at Auburn before he got swept away to be the head coach at South Carolina. This is what he did at Texas. This is what he did while he's Auburn the first time. This is what he did when he was with Saban at LSU. They just recruit the defensive line and stack them up.
Yep.
And keep stacking them up, because if they're on your squad, they're not against you. You can never have enough defensive linemen. We have found this out the hard way so many times at Auburn when we just did not have – we had good quality starters, and behind that there was a major drop-off. Yep. Or if there was anybody.
Yeah.
And you go out and get, you know, guys who are physical – not afraid of contact, and are big and bad. Look at what has happened at Georgia. You don't think that Will Muschamp – now Kirby Smart doesn't need a whole lot of help, but he's got it. You don't think Muschamp's been doing that? Where did DJ Durkin come from? The Muschamp tree. And I tell you, you're starting to see that, and you're going to continue to see that while he's here at Auburn.
2025 looks great. 2026 looks even greater for Auburn in terms of football recruiting. They have the number one class in the year of 2026. We're going to get to our bottom of the hour break, because Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us after this. We'll talk recruiting from Big Cat, talk about fall practice beginning as well, and all the other updates from around Auburn Athletics. Stick around. Jacob Hillman joins us after this.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And it's been a few weeks since we've had this guy on. With all the craziness around the summer and our schedules, just hasn't worked out. But it's okay, because we got him back now, and we're looking forward to getting caught up with this guy. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network joining us on the phone lines. My man, how are you, and happy Monday.
I'm doing well, Jacob. Thanks for having me back on, as always. And I think we're going to get back into a groove of things here as we get into the month of August and head towards that football season. Last Monday was a big one for the Auburn Athletic external staff. We had our retreat, and just getting ready for the five straight home games, that's a big deal, and we're looking forward to getting after it.
Oh, man. That every time I see it or I hear it or it gets brought up, the five straight home games, I know guys like you and me don't control the schedule. They don't give us a call, unfortunately. We haven't made it on that short list yet, but, man, it's just – That's a lot to start this football season. Five straight home games. I believe we did that a few years ago, and, man, by the end of it, you're begging for a road game.
Well, listen, you got to go into it positive. If you go into it down on it, then it's just going to be miserable. So we're going to go into it positively. There's a lot to be excited for in September, so that's the way you got to look at it, and we'll go from there. Because, like I said, I mean, kickoff on the Plains is 36 days from now, I think. That's obviously a big deal, and then – you really get into the gritty part of the schedule those following weeks.
Well, before we talk about fall practice getting going this week, we've got a recap, and we've been doing a lot of it today, about what happened over this extended weekend for Auburn football in terms of recruiting with Big Cat Weekend. You had 2026 guys committing. You had a couple of 2025 guys commit, a couple of flips as well. Got another one today, even more maybe expected throughout the next few days. Give us your just overall feelings on how the success rate went for Big Cat Weekend for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers.
Yeah, I think it was a huge positive and really not a ton to be negative about, quite frankly, if anything. And I think that's what it's all about, is building momentum as you move towards this season. You move towards those five home games this September, because you're going to have to capitalize on those. Obviously, with no October home games, a lot of those official visits that come in season are going to come early in September, and you're going to have to be ready for that. And Big Cat Weekend is obviously a great way to lead into that, introduce or reintroduce some of these guys back to campus and show them what it's like in the summer and what this coaching staff has planned for the next couple of years. And then obviously in season, it's a little bit different with game day and everything that goes into that. So I just think that it was a huge momentum boost, even besides all the commitments. I think what's really cool, go to your recruiting service of choice and you look at the top 10 players in the state of Alabama, and that's 2025 or 2026, and most of those guys are committed to Auburn or looking at Auburn. So I think that's kind of something really cool to keep an eye on and see how that goes moving forward. Especially when we get to that early signing day in December. So I just think that was really the kind of the ultimate Big Cat Weekend. That's exactly what you're looking for out of a recruiting event that like that. Obviously, it's something that Auburn's done for 15 years now, and it's really culminated into this big hoorah at the end of July, right before fall camp gets started.
Jacob, it's blatantly obvious that this staff has made it a point from day one to get back to recruiting the state of Alabama at the highest of levels. You can, what you just said, take a look at any recruiting service and not just see that Auburn is, making some waves this year in recruiting, but next year as well. It's also going to be blatantly obvious here pretty soon that schools aren't going to quit recruiting these kids that are committed to Auburn. I don't think that the University of Alabama people are going to take losing the state of Alabama and recruiting very well, and they're going to amp up their resources to recruit. What's going to be the strategy for this coach and staff to not just get other people to commit, but hold on to the guys that are committed to Auburn now?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting thing to look at. You see guys flipping between schools all the time, and that's always a very interesting thing to follow, depending on who the recruit is and depending on the schools. But and I'm not going to pretend to be a recruiting expert or anything like that, but I do think it does come down to what you show on the field here in 2024. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and go 12-0 and then run the table in the playoff, but it's important to show progress on the field, especially with what you just brought in, an impressive 2024 class, and show that those guys can make an impact so that there is a proof of concept. And That feels like the most important thing for this Auburn football program at this point, because it's clear and obvious that the recruiting is there. That is not even a question anymore. And I think that it really does come down to what we see on Saturdays in Jordan-Hare Stadium and throughout the rest of the SEC when Auburn hits the road.
Well, we were talking earlier, Hillman, just about the talent in the state of Alabama, because Auburn, of course, making it a point to win and take back the state of Alabama. And for a guy like yourself who has, you know, grown up in this state, up in the Birmingham area, you've seen a ton of talent go through high school football in your time, and it's only gotten better. We're saying top five state in the country, and that's why it's so important that Auburn's going through this state and trying to take it back.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it started last year when you flip a guy like a DeMarcus Riddick, who's on the roster now. You get Cam Coleman, who's from just down the road in Phoenix City. And then the rest of those wide receiver group, I mentioned Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Bryce Kane, and then Malcolm Simmons. And that was probably the start of it. And everyone sees that happen, and guys want to follow suit. So I really think it's all about momentum, and that's really what it seems like recruiting is. And when you build this kind of momentum and you keep it up, then it's really hard to slow it down. So, I have full faith in this coaching staff to keep it up, and especially when you get into the season. I think that's something that isn't talked about enough, is that a lot of what Auburn's recruiting prowess can be is what you see on game day. I mean, all the traditions and the atmosphere and whatnot. Obviously, that's been talked about a lot in the recent years, and now it's time for the play on the field to match that, and I think we'll see that as well this year.
Jacob, moving into the season, you know, there's a lot of talk. Auburn fans are excited. Hey, we're going to be 4-0 when Oklahoma comes to town. We're going to take it to 5-0 in these first five home games and then go on the road and see what Georgia has in store for us. I'm a little bit I think that Auburn can definitely go 4-0. We'll be favored in all four of those games, but there's a Cal game there looming where 15 returning starters for California for a team that gave us all we wanted last year, and Jaden Ott will be back. What are your thoughts on that game and, you know, possibly anything else that could slip up before Oklahoma gets here?
Yeah, that's really a big one because of, I think, where it falls on the schedule. You know, it's between your your kickoff on the Plains game, your season opener against Alabama A&M, and then your homecoming game, third game of the season, against New Mexico. And then obviously SEC play gets started right after that, and you're rocking and rolling. So that's your first test. And obviously last year you look at that game, and you can talk about a lot of factors, late night kickoff, a lot of travel, and all of that. But no, you're exactly right. Cal gave Auburn everything it could handle. And I expect to see another tough Cal team this year. And I do think that when we get to that 2:30 kickoff and, on September, I guess, 7th, I think it is, then that's the moment that you think, okay, this really will be a telltale sign of what's to come this season for this Auburn football team, I think. And, I think that this team will be more prepared than it was last year. You got Peyton Thorne, who's going through an entire spring practice, unlike last year where he joined joined the team during the summer. So I think that helps a lot, and he just has a full year under his belt. So, I recall last year the Stanford game. Now that's game three of the year, right after the Cal game, and how it was a little sluggish early on. And I kind of look at that New Mexico game as a similar benchmark as that Stanford game, and I think that we'll be able to kind of match it throughout the year. All right, how does Auburn look against Cal this time around, or against New Mexico? Compared to what they look like against Stanford. So that's what I'm looking forward to, and I think that Auburn can make a few steps forward early in the season here in 2024.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Before we get to kickoff on the Plains and before we get to the Cal game, you got fall practice, and that gets going this week on Thursday. Are there any particular players or position groups that you want to hear more about, want to see more of? I mean, anything like that going in? I mean, everybody's kind of got their eyes on a few of those, so I'm curious on what those are for you.
Yeah, I think I've kept a pretty consistent answer on this, and it's really the defensive backfield. The wide receivers are exciting because they're young and talented. So, you know, I'm ready to see them on the field. But as far as fall camp, I want to hear who emerges as far as the depth goes at cornerback and at safety. I quite frankly, past Keontae Scott and Kalen Lee and maybe Caleb Wooden or Sylvester Smith, it's going to be interesting to see who emerges. Antonio Kite, he's going to be a name to watch, the transfer from Alabama at cornerback. And I think there's a few other guys out there that could really emerge and be guys that have a chance. Jaron Thompson, he's a transfer from Texas. He's probably going to be the leader on the back end of the defense. So seeing how those guys come along and who else emerges as key depth pieces, I think is going to be the most important part for this defense. Obviously, you've gotten a couple of transfer linebackers that really helped the depth there. So I think the worry there starts to go away, but you still need to see them perform. But I think it's the defensive backfield for sure that the focus will be on for me.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze keeps talking about just how there's a lot of dudes there, right? There's a lot of bodies in that room and the corners and safeties. There's just a lot of young guys who are not battle tested, if you will, and just have to learn a little bit about what they're going to become. And of course, everybody's going to want to see Peyton Thorne and hear the notes on him and if he is as good as Hugh Freeze believes he can be and all those sorts of things. But that's what fall camp is about: is getting on the field, getting our first glimpse if we're able to get access, and then hearing the storylines coming out of it. And so looking forward to that. Hillman, before we let you go, my man, are you keeping up with the Olympics at all? I know Auburn's got some athletes over there. Of course, Suni Lee continuing to do her thing, now going to be competing in the all-around for the Olympics. Are you keeping up with it at all?
Yeah, no, I'm locked into the swing. I love swimming in the Olympics. Obviously the Americans, the United States are the premier country when it comes to swimming, and that really started back in 2008, and everyone knows with Michael Phelps. But even in Auburn, a former Auburn swimmer, Kirsty Gavrutny, was an awesome swimmer for Zimbabwe back in that same time frame. So I've definitely been locked into that, and obviously the 11 Auburn athletes that are competing. I think it's 5 in track and field, 3 in swimming and diving, 1 in tennis, obviously Suni Lee in gymnastics, and then JT Thor is doing big things with South Sudan
in
basketball. So I've been keeping track of it. It's so much nicer when it's a little bit of a closer time zone and you don't have to get up at 2 a.m. to keep track of it live like we did a couple years ago when it was in Tokyo. So that's been really cool to keep track of during the day. So good luck to all those Auburn athletes, and just obviously keeping track of the United States as well.
As we are just over 30-something days away from the start of Auburn football, next week is August. August 1 is Thursday, and we're going to have college football, man. Tell people what they need to know and where they can find all the information from you guys over at the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU, and follow the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. Coach Hugh Freeze has his fall camp presser, his opening presser, I believe on Friday, the day after fall camp gets started. So there's going to be plenty of that content coming out soon. And then obviously the Talking Tigers podcast will keep rolling on with Andy Bergstrom on the Auburn Sports Network. You can find that on War Eagle Plus as well. And then, hey man, like you said, we're right there. I think it's 33 days. I think earlier I said 36 days. We're 33 days away from kickoff on the Plains. You can get tickets for that at aubtix.com. So make sure you join us at Jordan-Hare Stadium for that one.
Well, we will continue to talk to you as we get closer to the start of football season. Enjoy your little getaway this weekend, and then get back to it, because it's going to be time when you get back, my man.
Hey, got to refresh right before the grind really starts, so that's what we're going to do.
Hey, I totally understand, and I will be doing the same. And so safe travels to you, my man. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You as well. Thanks for the time. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Monday at 3:30. And you heard him there, just getting ramped up and ready to go for the start of the Auburn football season. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 as we are getting just about out of time here on this Monday afternoon. Man, been a great show recapping what was a very successful Big Cat weekend. It continued into today, possibly continuing into tonight, and again, possibly going into the weekend as well. I mean, Big Cat, and that's what we were trying to tell people going into Big Cat, was it's not just about what happens on the Saturday. It's about the trickle-down effect and the ripples that you cause because of Big Cat Weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Big Cat Weekend is kind of like a door hinge. It's everything that came before it, right? The culmination of a lot of that work and the celebration of recruiting and all the hard work of it, and a few of the kids who'd been, you know, recruited for quite some time to, you know, give them their moment to shine. You know, this is it. Yep. I'm coming on board. And then the other side of the door it's connected to, right, is what happens from here on out. Like, you've lit a fuse with a few players. You convinced a few players to say, nah, don't go there, come here. And look at the momentum we can build and continue to build recruiting-wise until our days are no longer here at Auburn. So I love it. I think it's fantastic. I'll tell you what, recruiting never stops. One thing, though, that I have not been able to say yet, and I just remembered, was when you talk about 2026, Jacob, and Auburn already making waves there. And, yeah, you said it. It's a long ways till December of 2026. Heck, it's a long ways till December of 2025 in recruiting terms.
Yeah, you better believe
things can change on a dime. But to see Auburn taking the blueprint out of the textbook from Nick Saban, Auburn for a long time was just recruiting in its needs, it seemed like, for 1 year. He was always a year or two ahead.
Bingo.
He was knocking down the year they were recruiting, getting the hay in the barn. I remember one Alabama guy saying that, and it just made my skin crawl, but it was true. And then he, while you're trying to finish out your class in 25
he's
or whatever
long
year,
gone.
He's already a full cycle ahead of you.
Yeah.
And look at Auburn doing that. And that's what it takes. You got to be recruiting these kids, not just for this year, but for the year after and the year after that, 24/7. 365. And I think regardless of what happens, unless Auburn just completely free falls on the field, and I don't think they will, not with the staff they have now and not with the talent they have in 2025, you're going to see this out of Auburn for a very long time.
It's like when you're running the mile on the track and you've got the one guy who's just faster and better in shape than anybody else who is just a lap ahead. You see him way over there and you know that he's way out in front. He looks like he's behind, but he ain't.
Yeah.
He's in front of everybody. That's what Nick Saban did, and that's what Auburn's trying to do right now.
Yeah, it's like in a NASCAR race when those three guys are coming up on the field and you're like, man, what are they doing so far behind there? They're not last.
They're the
first.
Leaders.
They're the leaders, and they're about to lap you.
Yep, that's exactly right.
That's crazy.
Well, it was a very successful weekend at Big Cat. Excited to see if it trends into tonight with Fagans. His commitment is set for 6 p.m. Central Time, so we'll see if that happens for Auburn. They feel very good, but anything can happen. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we will talk about that, whether he commits to Auburn or not. We're going to have Lindsey Crosby talking baseball as we are approaching the trade deadline, our buyers, sellers, all sorts of stuff. What are the Atlanta Braves going to do as we get closer to that? We'll have Lindsey Crosby joining us in studio. Christian Griffin's going to be with us. Voice of the Lee Scott Warriors will be joining us in studio coming up tomorrow. And reminder, Double D is now on Wednesday, so just keep that in mind. We'll have Daryl this week, but he will be on Wednesday.
Is that all football season?
Yes.
He changed
to Wednesdays just with his schedule. Yep. I asked if he can move to Wednesdays, which works out fine for us. So he'll be with us on Wednesday. And so, other than that, though, again, just a very impressive weekend. And I think you should be excited as an Auburn football fan. You do have fall practice beginning on Thursday. Hugh Freeze will open it up with a press conference. And then it's on, man. We're here. Football season's upon us, my man. We have finally made it.
Yep, we made it full calendar year, it feels like, from the start of last season. Hard to believe. A lot of excitement on the plains. There should be a lot of excitement for all the fan bases. So I can't wait to be here this fall and talk about it. And also back on Saturdays with Game Day on Wings. I guess a real quick announcement on that. It's going to be 2 hours this year, not one. How about that?
Yeah, we'll have to definitely give some more information as we get closer to that. Reminder and shout out to the Orthopedic Clinic for sponsoring the second hour of the show each and every day. Go visit them at theorthoclinic.com. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. T-Bone will be back on Friday. So join us tomorrow, won't you? 2 to 4 right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.